If you have your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, but we're not going to start at verse 1 as I was, as it might say in your bulletin, but we are going to read the two verses preceding verse 1 of chapter 3 to just give us a little more context of what's going on with our passage. So we're going to read 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 to 3, verse 3. 1 John 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. I know something about you. Do you know what that is? You have a father. We all have a father. Some of us, we've been blessed to have a godly father. Others, not so much. Some fathers are very involved in our lives, and others are not involved at all. Some of our fathers are still alive, but sadly, others have passed. You may call someone father because he acts in the place of your father. Nevertheless, each of our earthly fathers have one thing in common. They are sinners. They were born with a sin nature inherited from their fathers, which was inherited from their fathers, which goes all the way down the line back to Adam. Each human father is imperfect. Imperfect in their love for their children. Yet in Ephesians 1, which was read by Mark this morning, we read how God our Father in love chose and predestined us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be his children. This love of the Father is not imperfect because God is holy. The love of God the Father for us is a perfect love that rescues us from the bondage of sin that we may inherit, that we inherit from our earthly fathers. In fact, the sin that we inherit from our earthly fathers makes us enemies of God. Yet the Father has adopted us. Even though we were once children of wrath, we deserve his wrath, but instead he gives us his love. We deserve condemnation. Yet he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to take our curse. Now, we are his servants. But no, we're not just his servants, we're his friends. And you're probably sitting there, no, but wait. We're not just his friends, we're his children. And we could take it a step further and say that we are not just his children, we are the bride of his beloved Son. And this is why our passage in 1 John 3 begs us to look, to see, to behold what kind of love the Father has for us. So let's look at our passage and see what kind of love the Father has for us. First, we see that the Father has a treasuring love for us, a cherishing love for us. Fathers, do you remember that first time you held your child in your arms? Did you realize what a treasure that little baby was? That child was precious to you. In each of the moments of growth, you fawned over. Taking pictures and videos, smiling, clapping, praising, and kissing her to show how much you treasured that moment in her life. That is your child. And your child is sitting, crawling, walking, running, climbing, or riding. If that's how we are as human parents, imagine how God the Father is with his children who are born of God. He has birthed them to spiritual life, so he treasures his children. Now, it's important for us to make the distinction that God doesn't treasure us because of us, but because of who we are in him. We are his children because he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world to be his children. He elected us to faith in his son, Jesus Christ. He gave the Holy Spirit to us so that we would live in a way that reflects who he is. This all speaks to his love. He shows his gracious favor to us when we were still dead in our sins. Now, the world would want to falsely accuse God of being an egomaniac for all this. Yet when an earthly father shows mercy and favor to their children, we say, oh, what a good father. Oh, he's such a nice dad. What a nice guy. God's not an egomaniac, but rather he is a compassionate heavenly father who treasures those whom he regenerates or births to spiritual life. The reason many struggle to understand this part of the love of the Father is because their own earthly father failed to treasure them in this way. In fact, we all at times are guilty of perceiving God the Father through the lens of our earthly father. Stop and think about it. If your earthly father did not treasure you or did not show that he treasured you, it may be difficult for you to understand the treasuring love of God the Father. So let's contrast the two. We know God's love will not let you go. Even though your earthly father may have abandoned you, if you are God's child, your heavenly father will never abandon you. Even though your earthly father may have abused you, your heavenly father will never even go near to abusing you. Even though your earthly father may not have ever held you, God the Father will forever hold you in his hands. And nothing can remove you from his hands. He is truly good to lovingly treasure us. God the Father's love is not just a treasuring love for us, but his love is a love that transcends time. In verses 1 and 2, we read that we are God's children now. It says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. This is the love of God manifested in our lives presently. If we have come to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, it is enough to save us from our sins and have repented of our sins, then at this moment, we know the love of Christ as children of the Heavenly Father. The Father, in love, sent His Son to be the Savior of all who would believe, John 3:16. In turn, the Son and the Father together sent the Holy Spirit to be with all those who come to faith. And the Holy Spirit is even now with us as believers in Jesus, strengthening us today. He is convicting us right now. He is comforting us and giving us hope even right now as we are in His Word this morning. Contrary to what some believe, the Holy Spirit doesn't fill us a little at salvation and then come a little later and fill us a little more. Since salvation, the believer has been and always will be filled with the Spirit. Today, we are completely filled with the Spirit because of the love of the Father that transcends time and space. Yes, God chose us in love before the foundation of the world to be His children right now, filled with the Spirit. It was in love so that we too could share the truth of the gospel with those that have not yet come to believe, so that they too would come to faith and believe in Him right now through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and theirs. If you are sitting here and you have not yet come to faith in Jesus, you can know the love of God the Father. You can be born again as His child today. You can be adopted into God's family. You need to believe in Him, repent, and confess your sins to Him, and He will save you. Jesus came to earth to die and rise again to save you from the penalty of your sin. Romans 6:23 tells us what that penalty is. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord, if we will believe. You can be saved right now and for eternity. You can be God's child today. This brings us to the future hope of God's love that transcends time and space. We read about this in the second part of verse 2. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. We will never be sinless in this life. We don't believe in sinless perfection. And we have not arrived, but there is a day coming where we will be sinless. When we are glorified and arrive in heaven, that is the day. And for some of us, that will happen when we die and we are ushered into the presence of our Savior. For others, we may be glorified as we are united with Christ at His second coming. Either way, it will be an amazing day when our faith will be sight, when we fully realize the love of God as we inherit eternity as His children. What a day that will be when we see Jesus in His glorified state, when we reach heaven and we are with Jesus, the one who has made us His bride. There we will share the love of the Heavenly Father together for eternity. I can't wait. So far, we have looked at how God's love is a treasuring love and how His love transcends time. Now let's look And how that God's love is a love that purifies us from sin. From the Old Testament passages like Genesis 3 and Isaiah 6 and Exodus 20, we can derive that God is very concerned with holiness. In fact, it is the sin of man that caused man to be cast out of the Garden of Eden, and it is that sinfulness of man that caused the flood. It's the rampant sin of Sodom and Gomorrah that caused them to be judged. And it is because of the sinfulness of the Canaanite nations that God chose to use Israel to eliminate them from the land. It was the sinfulness of Israel that caused that nation to go into exile. Yet it is also the sinfulness of the human race in general that caused the Heavenly Father to send His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to bring cleansing from sin to all who would believe. No, sin can't be in the presence of God. It's an impossibility. The word holy means set apart or separate from. God being holy is set apart from sin. So we, as God's children, must be set apart from sin or separate from sin. We need to be cleansed from it. If we are not set apart from sin to God, then we are not His children. In order for us to be adopted as His children, we must be pure and holy. We must be cleansed from our sins. But how could that happen? God, the Father, in His perfect, sovereign, and providential love for us, made a way for us when it seemed impossible. He provided the offspring that is mentioned in Genesis 3. That offspring is also the sacrificial lamb of the Mosaic law, the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, and the very Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is revealed to us in the Gospels. That is the one who is the way. We need freedom from our sins, so He took our sin on Himself. How incredible is that? Jesus became sin for us. God the Father sent Jesus to come and die for us. He sent Jesus to take our place. And the best part about it is that He didn't stay dead. No, He rose from the grave 3 days later, triumphant over sin and death and hell. His resurrection symbolizes the new life that we have when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. Sin no longer has dominion over us. We are justified before God. Our status is clean. We are made pure in Christ. Our sin no longer separates us from the love of God. Now, that is a deep love. Jesus paid it all. There is no deeper love than we can know than the love of the Father. But after we have come to faith in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit that's given to help us live for God. And the Spirit implants in us this desire to please the Father. We are like children who want to do what delights or brings joy to our Heavenly Father. We long to have Him smile on us. His word carries great weight with us, and we love to do what he asks. We come to him like a child. What can I do for you, my Abba, my daddy? I want to please you, Father. This is impossible without the Holy Spirit. The Spirit convicts us of sin as well. He is daily working in us the righteousness that is found in Christ Jesus alone. We can live in the right, we can't live in righteousness without Jesus Christ, because it is his righteousness which becomes ours. We didn't pay the penalty for our sins, he did. We need to live in step with the Holy Spirit. So through the great love of the Father, the Holy Spirit convicts of us of our sin, not because, you know, we're so smart that we know when we sin. And it's not because God hates you and wants to hurt you. That's not why he convicts you. No, it's because God loves you so much. He wants to root the sin out of your life, so that others can truly see that you are his child. That's my boy. That's my child. That's what he's saying. He wants to be able to say that about us. Now, I would be a bad father or a bad dad to not point out to my child that if he keeps hitting his friends, he will not have friends. That may have been something I might have had a conversation about this week. Likewise, God the Father, in loving concern, speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, through his word, warning us of the consequences that our sins will incur. He wants us to live holy lives, set apart from the world, set apart from sin. He wants us to be different because we're his children than those around us. Before the Father adopted us, our father was the enemy of God, the devil. We were not living, we were dead. We were zombies, dead men walking around, following the course of this world, headed straight for eternal damnation. We lived aimlessly and sinfully for whatever vain trinkets seemed pleasing at the time. Satan horribly abused and misused us. In fact, if you think of the worst fathers that you've ever heard of, that is what he was to us, the worst father. But God saw us as we were left for dead on the side of the road, like the man in the story of the Good Samaritan. Yes, we were already dead, and there was no life in us. But God the Father moves toward us. He sends his Holy Spirit to breathe new life into us. And as we come to life, our eyes are open and we look up and we see God's love. And his love is personified in his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, we see Christ on the cross and we believe in him. And through his cleansing blood, we are free from our sins. Our sins are washed away. We are made pure and clean, and we are made holy, so that now we can be in the presence of the Heavenly Father as his precious child. We have life, but not just life, eternal life. We are privileged to be the children of the Father. much better than that abused abandonment we knew before salvation. We are loved by the Father. So you see, if you're sitting here, this sermon is for you because you were born to this earth. Whether your earthly father may have been a rotten father or a godly father, you can have the best father of all. God, the perfectly loving heavenly Father. He knows where you came from because he is all-knowing. He has seen what you've been through because he's omnipresent or everywhere present. He wants to rescue you from death and bring you to life. Not because of you, but because of his great love. He desires to cleanse you from your sin and make you his child. He wants to breathe new life in you so that you can live in righteousness through his Son, Jesus Christ. He wants to show his transcendent love to you now and forever. No matter if you are young, like a child, or older, you can be his child today. Now, my Christian brothers and sisters, as you desire to grow in your walk with God, let me recommend to you that you don't just consider God the Father through the lens of your earthly father. Rather, I would encourage you to look to the Word of God and through its lens, look at what kind of love the Father has for you. Just from our short passage today, we discovered that his love is a treasuring love for all time. And it cleans us up from the scum of sin. He's adopted us forever to live for him because we are his. What a perfect love. God the Father has a perfect love for us as his children. One of my favorite books I like to read to my kids, and I often cry when I do, is Love You Forever by Robert Munsch. Many of you probably have read this story, but let me summarize it. It goes through the life of a mother and a son. When the son is very young, and until he's a man with his own child, and his mother is old and sick, and from all indications, likely to die. And as it goes through the stages of the son's life, there is a song that is sung at the end of that stage, which goes like this. Now, I'm not going to give you any tune, because everybody has their different tune. It goes like this. I love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. I imagine that is how God the Father looks at us. He holds us and he sings, I'll love you forever. I'll love you for always, living with me forever, my child, you'll be. We are loved.